Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Revisiting Luke's Gospel, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about Luke's Gospel for the second time in 3 years. My name is Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. I've been a minister for over 30 years, and every year my thoughts and wonderings change. So, Monday to Friday, I'll be reading my way through Luke, even though I read through Luke in 2021. But the thing is, the world's changed. I've changed, and so I expect that my wonderings will have changed as well. I don't have notes, and I haven't checked back to see what I said 3 years ago, but I am kind of looking forward to hearing what I say now. Or more importantly, what I think God may be saying to me now. I do want to thank Drew Winters for the music and you for joining me. I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes, but every once in a while we may go a couple minutes long. You should also know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I will have recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wandering, well, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Just search Norm Seeley. That's Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or even easier, find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church, the one in Ontario. So now, let's see what Luke has to say this time around. Today it's Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. And yesterday we started the chapter with the parable of the unjust judge, sometimes called the parable of the judge and the widow. I would simply call it the parable of the unjust judge and the whiny widow. Anyway, we did some wondering about what that parable might mean. And then we move on to another parable, I suppose. So here it is. It's Luke 18, 9 to 14. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, could not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. There we go. So, yesterday I suggested reading the parable free of the commentary in the introduction. And again, we get an introduction, right? The author of the gospel, Luke, tells us, Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. So that's what Luke tells us this parable is about. And then Jesus comments on it, but again, this is Luke telling us what Jesus said. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. I personally suspect that Luke knows the parable, and then in creating a narrative, this gospel, gives us the introduction to let us know what the parable is about, and then gives us provides Jesus' words to explain the parable. I don't know that those were Jesus' words. I suspect they weren't. I think what Luke knows is the parable. And yesterday, for me, freeing myself from Luke's creativity and just looking at the parable, I found a lot of different meanings to the parable, or at least one specifically. But I could see others, but one that I wondered about. Here, at first blush, it feels to me like Luke's got this right. So forgetting all the other words, just listening to Jesus say, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. Okay, so we've got two people who are very different. A Pharisee is a hero to the people. A tax collector is a villain to the people. The Pharisee knows the way of God's law and therefore mediates a relationship with God. The tax collector knows Rome's law and is a mediator with the relationship with Rome, with the empire. So I got these two different people. The Pharisee stands by himself and says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, thieves and rogues and adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. So we get a sense of who the Pharisee is, God-fearing, keeps good company, does all the jobs he's supposed to do. The tax collector standing far off would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the parable. Then Luke adds Jesus' commentary, I tell you, this man went to his home justified rather than the other. So could this mean something else? And I'm not sure. I mean, I like the meaning. You know, this idea that our relationship with God is based on humility. And sometimes the very things that we wish weren't true give us greater access to God. I wish I weren't a tax collector. I don't know anyone who grew up saying, boy, oh boy, I want to be a tax collector. I'm just imagining. I think people became tax collectors because they needed the money. Maybe they were greedy, or maybe it was the only work they could get. Because certainly when you become a tax collector, you are not loved by your community. You're the person who takes the money. Today, I don't want to be a tax collector. Even if I'm collecting money for an elected government, the idea is when I take your money to be used for infrastructure, for all the things that you and I take for granted, I am not loved. I listen to people complain all the time. Certainly we're getting some campaigning now in Canada saying, you know, half your paycheck's going to the government. That just can't be right. What a terrible thing. Well, yeah, but nobody sits down and goes, wow, just think, for only half my paycheck, I'm paying for roads and police and hospitals and environmental initiatives and this kind of economic stimulus and, employment insurance that helps keeps people working, will help me keep going if I lose my job. No, we don't say any of that. We just say, oh, they're taking our money. So nobody likes the guy who takes the money. Eh? So I can't imagine anyone wanting to be a tax collector. So I wonder if what we're being reminded is sometimes our access to God comes from our difficult situations. I don't want to be a tax collector, but because of that, I have no other friends. I only have God. I think about friends who have who managed depression, but certainly in the early days did not manage it well. They struggled. It was difficult. Even the ones who manage it well now still have hard times. But I think of a couple I could name who, in the midst of their depression, they met God. Everything was stripped away. I think of people that I have met while a loved one was dying. And the faith that they found in the midst of that painful time and in despair. So when you have everything torn away from you, all those things that you have come to rely on, that assure you that you're a good person and you know, create for you like a false relationship with God, when those things are torn away, then you get to have a real relationship with God. If this may not be about being a Pharisee or being a tax collector, it's about surrounding yourselves with the things that make it look like you are in a good relationship with God. The Pharisee certainly does. Pharisee is a hero of the faith. It's a religious official. He tithes, says so right there, gives a tenth of his income. He fasts twice a week. you look at him and go, he has a relationship with God. You look at the tax collector and go, that horrible person is nothing. But in fact, he does. He has a real relation with God because he can't fool himself with appearances. I don't know whether the Pharisee has a real relation with God or not. Commentary suggests that he doesn't, or that he could have a better one. But I know it looks like he does, but that's not necessarily the way it is. So if I'm trying to grow my relationship with God, I want to deepen my faith, I might be looking at my local Pharisee or minister, priest, religious leader and say, oh, if I could only be more like them, then my faith would grow. Instead of looking at my buddy who goes into those AA meetings three times a week because he's just coming to grips with living his life sober. I'm not going to go to him. I'm going to go to the Pharisee. This parable makes me realize that maybe my friend who has given up all the illusions of being in control of the universe, of being able to set the agenda himself, that person is the one who is in a better relation with God, quite probably. Maybe when all things are falling apart around me, rather than imagining that God is punishing me by taking away my comforts, my security, my wealth, whatever it is, maybe I should be looking at that as an opportunity to grow my faith. Oh God, if I have no money, I guess I need to sustain myself on you. How do I do that? See, I think there's so many things in our life that are distractions or even addictions that keep us from real relationship. And wealth is one of those things. Power, prestige, fame. Pharisee has all those things. Tax collector has none of those things. He might have wealth, but tax collectors weren't necessarily making out like bandits. But he doesn't have the others, and he has that better relationship with God. So maybe, akin to what Luke thinks this parable is about, but maybe it is about seizing that opportunity when we find ourselves without the supports that we have grown accustomed to, rather than panicking that God is punishing us. We might recognize this as an opportunity for us to meet God more fully. Maybe. When I started, I said something interesting. At least it was interesting to me because I didn't know I was going to say it. The Pharisee is an expert in mediating our relationship with God. That's their job, right? The tax collector is an expert in mediating our relationship with the empire. That's his job. But I may have misspoken. The Pharisee's job is actually helping us mediate our relationship with the religious institution, with the church, which is no different than mediating our relationship with the empire, with Rome, with the world. What's underneath it is what's important, and that's our relationship with God. So when I hear this parable, when I think about this for myself, I ask myself, okay, so am I a Pharisee or am I a tax collector? And if I say, oh, I'm a Pharisee, in that I help mediate that relationship, that holy relationship, then I have to ask myself, yes, but is that a holy relationship with the church, or is it a holy relationship with God? Would I help somebody grow in faith if their words and expression of faith did not match up with my church community's faith? And I want to say, well, of course I would, but sometimes maybe not. Sometimes, maybe not. But I do want to think about it. Am I helping you grow in relationship to Jubilee United Church? That's my church. Am I helping you grow in relationship to the United Church of Canada? Am I helping you grow in your relationship to Protestantism? Am I helping you grow in your relationship to Christianity? Or am I helping you grow in your relationship with God? Because if I'm not helping you grow in your relationship with God, then I really am not any different than the tax collector. Helping you navigate a relationship with an institution. The institution doesn't care about you. It doesn't hate you, but it doesn't care about you. There's nothing, no vested interest in you. Right, the Roman Empire did. I mean, the Roman Empire protected their citizens absolutely, and they did honor their allies because that was good business. They didn't do it because they were good people. They did that because it was good business. If a Roman citizen couldn't be incarcerated or tortured or killed in a barbarous way, that wasn't because Rome said, "Oh, that's not fair that Paul would suffer like that." No, it was part of what they offered. As a citizen of Rome, you will be protected. Well, I'm glad I'm a citizen of Rome then. I'm not going to think about revolting. I don't want to lose that kind of protection. I like that. Membership has its privileges. It's all about keeping loyal members. It's not about caring about the members. It's just ensuring their loyalty. When I function as a Pharisee, as a religious leader, am I concerned with your membership privileges? Am I concerned with maintaining your loyalty to the organization or to our expression of faith? Or am I more concerned about you growing in faith? Would I help you leave the church and follow Theravada Buddhism because it spoke better to you, spoke more to you? Or would I want to defend my Jesus and need you to go my way? I mean, it's almost a ridiculous situation. It's not likely to happen. People come to me because they want to grow in a Christian faith, so that's fine. But do I focus on the institution? Or do I focus on their need? For us as people of faith, never mind being a religious leader, when somebody comes to us, do we help? Do we try to give them our faith, or do we help them grow in their faith? Both things can involve sharing our faith, but we can share our faith and give them room to find their own, or we can share our faith and try to fit them into the space we've defined, right? The parable makes me wonder a little bit about that. Because the Pharisee and the tax collector, at first blush, well, they're very different. They're opposite sides. But in fact, they're not all that different. Unless they are focused on a personal relationship with God. And when I say personal, I don't mean to the exclusion of justice for all people. But I mean in helping bring an individual into relationship with God. This tax collector does have that very relationship with God and would be probably of greater help to me than a Pharisee who is more concerned about loyalty to the organization. More help to me than a Pharisee who's very impressed with himself because he follows the rules and therefore has a relationship. Following the rules is no guarantee of relationship. Excuse me. And having said all of those things, I think Luke probably still has this parable right. It is about humbling yourself before God and not being so sure of yourself because you think you follow the rules and therefore God owes you respect. It's about recognizing that God owes you nothing. And therefore you receive everything that God gives you as love. Pure love, not deserved love, not negotiated love. Pure love, because you've asked for nothing, you feel you deserve nothing, and then to have it come and receive it. Pharisee feels he's earned it, he deserves it, and he thinks he's getting it. I will tell you that in my experience of people of faith, there are a number of people who think they're in fine relationship with God and they feel really good about it. And then the big storm comes. Something hits them and they discover that their faith is much more shallow than they had imagined it was. And it won't carry them through the storm. As a Pharisee, this parable speaks to me and asks me to consider, will my faith carry me through the storm? What storms has it carried me through? Is it enough to carry me through the next storm, whatever that might be? And so I take that time to wonder. And as I wonder, I recognize perhaps, yes, actually, no, my faith is good and it's ready to handle whatever comes next. I don't know what it is, but I think it's ready. Or I recognize, you know what? It's going to be really tough. You know, if mom and dad get sick, am I going to have the faith to get me through that? And if I don't think I'm going to, then how am I going to grow a faith that allows me to do that? What is it that I need to do? It might be a thing that makes me go, I want to talk to my Pharisee, to my minister, just to recognize that. I mean, the number of times I look at people and go, oh, I know you don't think you need this, and I get it, and I'm not forcing it on you, but I know that one of these days I'm going to be sitting with you in a horribly difficult situation, and we're going to wish we'd done a little advance work. Well, I can see that in others. I'm invited to look at it and consider it for myself, too. And I think I'm just going to leave it there. I think that's enough for now. I'm going to just offer a prayer and encourage you to keep wondering about this little parable. Maybe it's exactly as Luke says, but maybe there's something else in there for you. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you as always for parables. Parables that we understand immediately. Parables that invite us to dig a little deeper. Parables that say one thing to us in this moment and another thing in the next moment. Thank you for the dynamic way that Scripture can speak to us. And God, we ask that as we hear your word emerge from these parables, from our wondering and contemplation, may we recognize that word and may we follow that word. May that word make us active and loving in the world. May that word inspire us to deepen our relationship with you. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, that's enough for me today, but I do look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Until I get to see you, God bless. Please know that God sees you, knows you, and loves you exactly as you are, exactly where you are. But God's love doesn't just come and meet you. God's love moves through you and into the world and does amazing things. It truly does. You change the world just by being you. So God bless you. We'll see you soon.